Let's go. The Deborah E. Lake Show. I'm your host, Deborah, and I hope you're having a wonderful, beautiful day today. Hello, Boston. I'm coming at you from Boston. That's where I'm broadcasting today. Shout out to Boston. How you doing? It's a little chilly. Yeah, it's a little chilly, but it's a gorgeous day, and I'm in a gorgeous place. Today, I will not be taking calls, because I'm talking about the second and third of the 12 principles that I live by, and I encourage other people to live by as well, because you will live like you've never lived before. It'll be difficult. It'll be fun. It'll be difficult again. And you'll meet people that you wouldn't even think that would be in your life if you follow these principles. We're talking about the second and third. But in general, the principles are grounding. They come from, here's where they come from. They come from the lessons that I learned from my parents, my father and my mother, and from lessons that I learned living. Huh? You bump your head, you trip up, you get up, you brush yourself off, and you say, what is the lesson in that? That's where these principles come from. And in general, these principles are grounded in certain assumptions. And one is God made us to be happy. Look at a little baby, and if the physical comforts are taken care of, food, dry diaper, hey, come and take care of this over here, cuddling, the kid's happy. We come here happy. We learn how to be unhappy as we grow. We learn how to hate ourselves if we do. As we grow, we learn how to hate each other. As we grow, we learn to live with anger and carry anger around in our bodies as we grow into adults. God wants us to be happy. The second one is each and every one of us has many gifts to give to the world. That's why we're here. But before we can give, we have to know how to be authentically us. We have to be an authentic person, not someone trying to fit in to some little mold. You lose your gifts that way sometimes. Or you use the gifts of others when you're trying to fit yourself in and you don't know who you are. Another assumption is money is just a tool. It's not a means. It is a means. Mistake. It's not the ultimate goal. Right? It's a means to, which means that the amount of income that you have right now does not determine your worth as a person. I'm going to say that again. The amount of income that you have right now, whether it's a quarter or $1 billion, that does not determine your worth as a person. And it does not mean that because you have less or more, you're better or not as good, okay? The trouble comes in our lives when we make decisions about what we are, how we treat each other, and with whom we affiliate based on whether or not we will increase the amount of money that we have. That's when trouble comes. There's a really cute song. I think the name is Forget You. I'm not sure. There are different versions of it, and the clean version is Forget You. If you've heard it, you know what I'm talking about. I don't remember the artist, and I just happened to think about this just now. These shows are, a lot of them, unless I have a guest or something, are like off the top sometimes. And this song is like, he's a guy singing, and it's like, forget you, you know, you and your girlfriend. He's been dumped because he doesn't have enough money, and he's like, that's a lesson. That's a lesson. Hey, you don't want me, I don't want you, that's okay. Another assumption is that you are who you are in every single setting. You are the person that you are wherever you go. You can think that you behave a certain way because you're around certain people, or you behave a certain, you know, we don't act like that here, but you're you everywhere you go. And this means that there's no place where you are not you. The trouble comes when we try to change who we are so that we can please others to be accepted. That's right. That's where trouble comes in. And often we're so busy trying to fit in that we don't even know who we are. The other assumption is love is everything, and it starts with loving yourself, which means that the power of love can overcome every obstacle the world constructs to put in your way. And if you are unable to love yourself, there's no way you can love another. If you are unable to love yourself, and I don't mean everything I do is wonderful and look in the mirror and I'm so hot, and that's not love. If you're not able to really love who you are right now, you can't love someone else. So that's what this is based on. It's based on lessons that I've learned from my parents growing up and from living life as long as I have. So on to the second and the third principle. Know who you are. Know who you are. Honor who you are. And prepare to meet the person that you will become when this process is through. And I will say that this is an ongoing process, but you will be changed at the end, and you will continue to change, and the change will become easier. Change is change. It comes. Change comes. That's what life is. The question is, what kind of change do you want? So set aside some time each day, and for silent reflection. I call it meditation. You can call it whatever you want, but as long as you set aside some time and examine where you are, where are you concentrating your energy right now in your life? I'm not talking about right now. Hopefully, you're concentrating on this radio show, and that's a good thing. But in your life in general, where are you concentrating most of your energy right now? With whom? On who? On what? What feelings come up as you really think about this in silence? A lot of us can't be in silence. But think about it. And what feelings come up? What images come up? Write them down. It's important to keep a journal, because that's how we go back and see the progress that we make and see some of the things that are going on around us when we're feeling a certain way. Sometimes I keep a journal, and sometimes I keep it and I go back and read. And I say, wow, you're introducing yourself to yourself when you go back and read. And that's also how you honor the person that you are right now, because part of moving forward is honoring who you are right now, not beating yourself up, not saying, well, if I was XYZ, I could do QRS. That's not what this is about. This is about honoring yourself, learning how to honor yourself in a healthy way, and meeting and learning who you are and who you are becoming. Because we are all becoming. What direction are you going? In what direction are you becoming you? Okay? So know who you are. Here's a question. What kind of person are you? Here's one thing that you can do. Ask yourself, answer this question. I am. Fill that out. And think about it. Don't just, you know, think about it. When you answer the question, I am XYZ, fill out the blanks, as many blanks as you want. What are you doing? Are you using categories? Like, if I fill out, I am a parent, I'm a good neighbor, I'm a sibling, I'm a teacher, I'm a doctor. Is that one way? Or are you inclined to answer from something that's deeper than the categories? And that's where we want to work. I am naive. I'm afraid. I'm strong-willed. I'm fearless. I'm persistent. Honest. Dishonest. That's where you want to work. Those I am, that's what you want to fill out. So if you're inclined to answer with the categories, like I'm a parent, I'm this, I'm that, you will need to challenge yourself to go, and you'll need to go deeper to find out who you are, because you're more than any one particular category. We fill out categories, but we fill out categories based on the kind of person that we are. That's why there are different parents that are better than and not so good, because we're filling that role, but we fill it out in whatever way we can, and we can based on who we are. So this is important. This is an important distinction. When you answer the question, I am, really take the time, and it might be scary at first. Take the time to find out who you really are. One way you can do this, if you're stuck, is to look at the people closest to you. That's one way you can see yourself. Look at the ones that you really value around you. What kind of relationships do those people represent? Are they peaceful relationships, or supportive, or reciprocal? Do you feel guilty, or something's not quite off? Or are they adversarial relationships, combative, one-sided? Do you feel as though you're heard? Do you feel as though within these relationships you can actually be yourself? Or do you feel as though you're playing, you're in a category? You're in the wife category, or you're in the spouse category, or you're in the daughter category? That's what we're looking at. Another question to ask is, do you listen? Do you feel that the people who are closest to you, do you feel like they're honest with you? These are the questions that you, and they're difficult. I'm not saying they're easy, but they're important. If you're going to know yourself, you have to really ask these questions and be prepared to meet the person. And honor that person. Let me give an example of my own life. And this is my way of honoring who I was and honoring who I am now. There was a time when I was surrounded primarily by angry, jealous people with whom I knew deep, deep, deep down inside, I couldn't trust those people. I didn't acknowledge it. I didn't act on it, but I knew deep down that I really could not trust the people who were closest to me at that time. I didn't draw these people intentionally. I didn't go out and seek them out. This was just part of who I was. This was the world that I created based on who I was. And that's why I'm sharing this with you, because we all do this. Love, love was not in the equation. As a matter of fact, most of the people... Well, I say most, because I don't want to do absolute. Most of the people that I spent most of my time with and listened to most of the time and valued what they said, never said I love you. And now, it wasn't until I started to look at these relationships that I learned who I was at that time. And I did not like what I saw. I was someone who was angry, and I felt as though other people succeeded because they had connections or friends or help that was unavailable to me. I was in that mindset. I did not trust myself. I did not trust my inner guidance. I was afraid to be authentically me, to find out who I was and be authentically myself. And I did not love me. I did not love myself. So these were the kind of people that I drew closest to me, and I mean inner circle close. Now, after a lot of difficult work and soul-searching and heart-wrenching and all of that, which is gone and over, I have gotten rid of much of what I didn't like about myself. And again, I say this is an ongoing process, a lifelong process. That's part of what we do while we're alive. But I have become a better person, and I have fewer people close to me than I did before. But those people reflect who I am today. Much better relationships. So looking at your relationships will tell you a lot about yourself. And some of those things you might find out you might not like, but that's okay. That's okay, because change always happens. And while you're examining your closest relationships, go back to Principle 1 and review the plan that you made for yourself. Now, if you missed that program, the first program on No Plan B is the name of it, go to my website, DeborahElake.com, DeborahElake.com, and you'll find it on my past shows section on my website. So ask yourself if you have a plan, but if you don't, go back and find that. Do it. Find out. Ask yourself if the relationships that you're examining, do they support your plan? Which relationships are neutral to your plan? You may find some are neutral. They don't hurt it, and they don't support it either way. Which are counterproductive to your plan? And be very determined in this, and take the time to do the work that you need to find the answers that you want. Well, that maybe not want, but that are there. They're there. And I think that what you'll find is that the relationships that are counterproductive to your plan will reveal the most information about who you are right now, and will help you. Examining those relationships that are counterproductive to your plan, they will help you achieve your goals. Examining those things, why are you there? Why does it make sense? And learning what those answers are will help you achieve your goals. And again, I'll say use some form of meditation to help you examine your feelings. Think about each relationship. Include all of your relationships. I have spent time talking about the closest relationships because those are the ones that tell you the most about yourself. But every relationship that you're in tells you information about who you are, what's important to you, what's valuable to you, what ethics do you buy into, what is your sense of right and wrong. You can see all of that in professional, personal, love, family, affinity groups, organizations. Include every person and setting in which you spend your energy, your time, and your resources, and you will learn a lot about who you are. And you write down your thoughts and keep your thoughts private. This is your work for you. Now, you can contact me and with questions and things like that. And if things become overwhelming, you can go and talk to a professional. But do not censor yourself, and don't run around with your friends and talk about what you're doing right now, because this is your work. Now, one of the things I'll talk about journals, you may find that as you keep a journal, you will remember your dreams. We all dream. Sometimes you say, I didn't dream last night. It's not that you didn't dream. You didn't remember it. That's what it was. But you may find that as you journal your thoughts and your feelings and stuff like that, and write about the memories that come up, you may find that you remember your dreams more. And if that happens, start a dream log. Start writing down. have a piece of paper and a pen or pencil, whatever you have. Have it right next to your bed. And as you wake up and when you hear, remember your dream, write it down. Or get a recorder and say it. Sometimes you might feel that you've had a dream and you know you remember the dream, but you don't remember the details. Just write down what the emotions are or write down whatever impressions you have. And sometimes later on in the day, the dream will come back to you. You'll find this fascinating. The mind is a fascinating thing. When you start doing this, if you haven't already, you will find that going back and reading what you have written over the months, over the weeks, over the years will be very insightful. And it will help you move through the process. It will help you move through the process of becoming the person that God wants you to be. That's all for today. Visit me at DeborahELake.com and listen to previous shows or learn about future shows. We have shows coming up toward the end, I think May 28th. We're going to be talking about what it means to be an American. That's on my website. That's not in my head, but the date and time will be on my website. If you feel so inclined, drop me an email. Until next time, world. Goodbye.